Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. We just praise you and glorify you, Father, because we know that you're in charge. And even when we go through trials, Lord, we know we're going to come out on the other side smelling like you do, Lord, smelling like a rose. We're going to look like you, act like you, and talk just like you. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters. And I thank you, Father, that when we come together, the enemy gets scared. Because he knows that he's in trouble. And I praise you, Father, that tonight going to be some good revelations, good things talked about, because you're going to lead us. And I praise you and glorify you, Father. Be with us tonight, Lord. Lead us and guide us into the things that you'd have us to pray for and also the things to talk about. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all the testimonies you have given us in the past and the ones that are coming up ahead, too. And I praise you and I glorify you for all the work that you're doing. There's nothing we can do other than just obey your word. And I thank you, Father, for placing that in each and every one of us to obey your word, because this bride is a beautiful thing to be in. And I thank you, Lord, that we're all in it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Has anybody got a prayer request? I do. I thank you, Lord, that tomorrow morning we're going to hook up that pump and everything's going to work like it's supposed to. And we're going to have great water once again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that all the people that are going through these trials are praising you for the victory, Lord, because that's what we do. We don't glorify the enemy by saying anything about what we're going through. We just praise you, Lord, for taking us through it, getting us through it. And when we do that, we know we'll get through it a lot quicker. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, anybody else? How about a testimony? Yeah, Isaac.
Hello. Hello, everybody. I think I have a testimony. So today I was at work and I was walking by. I don't remember where I was going, though. I was just walking. And I usually look down. I just look down and walk. I don't know why. I just like it better that way. I don't have to make small talk sometimes. You know what I mean? I just want to get where I'm going. Anyways, the plant manager stopped me. It's a pretty big facility. And I usually just kind of stay on my line, right? That's where I'm more comfortable. Anyways, he stopped me and he asked me about that big rebuild project I explained to you guys and y'all prayed about. He said, "Hey, how's that conveyor going? Is it still running pretty good?" I said, Yeah, it is." And he goes, "You know, Isaac, that was a really big project, like pretty much had major implications." I said, "Yeah, I thought about it a lot." I said, "Plus the guys, they did a great job." I said, "Man," and I wanted to be respectful and do what was right. And I said, "You know, they pretty much did it all." I said, "You know, I just, you know, I knew they could do it. I trusted they could do the job and they did it." And I said, and I knew it. I felt it in my heart. Hey, this is my moment. And so I looked at him and I rebuked him. No, I'm joking. But I said, to him, I said, "Sir," I said, "but I gotta be honest with you, man. We all prayed about it. The good Lord's with us." And I just wanted to leave it at that. He goes, "Man," he goes, "we do all need some help from the higher power." And I said, "That's right." And that was it. But I was just glad to be able to reference the good Lord Jesus. That's all.
Amen. Yes, Lord, you're the one. Thank you, Father, for helping us out. And we thank you, Lord, that Isaac was bold enough to tell the plant manager that it was all because of you, Lord, and we praise you for it. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. That was a good one. That's a good one. I'd give everybody else boldness to do the same thing. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Well, maybe just be interesting that you must maybe ask David about that. We talk on Saturday evening and that 24 elders. What's
24
his idea
elders. I sent him a text, but he never replied back to me.
Oh, I said, well,
and I forgot about it, but he's gone right now, I think. Yeah, he's gone in my truck. He's over praying for somebody right now. But when he comes back, I'll ask him. I'll sneak out there and ask him. I meant to do that, and I apologize. I forgot about it. It's just been pretty busy around here a little bit.
Apologies accepted. No answers.
Has anybody got any comments on the 24 elders? The Revelation, what is that? What chapter is that in? Anybody remember? Oh, I don't remember. I texted David about it. Is that done? No. We got it. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about? Well, we're just a ball of instant knowledge. Pat's got it. Revelation 4:4. Let me see what that says. Round about the throne, 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting arrayed in white garments, and on their heads crowns of gold. Okay. Somebody had their hand up. Who was that? Oh, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, after the fast, I hooked up with two videos that UBM puts out. Separation, good and bad, division in and of the church, and that's from YouTube. And why is the church divided? One flock, one shepherd, David Eales. And that was the Sunday, the last day I did that. And on the 24th, which was yesterday, started reading Proverbs 24, and it led me to remember at the end of Proverbs 24, there was like a wall with a hole in it, and the sluggard, and so it reminded me. I thought was put in my head to go to Ezekiel chapter 8. And so I read chapter 8, chapter 9. Got a little bit Holy Ghost spooked in chapter 9. I went from 9 all the way to 17. And, you know, it's got some really abominations in the temple. Idlers killed, you know, they entitled them. And was really quite eye-opening. the glory of the Lord leave the temple? I actually, this morning, I reviewed chapter 16, which is the Lord's faithless bride. And it seemed like a lot of the stuff was really collating very well for me, and sort of a good finish on what faction and division can do. And I particularly like the 16 one, because the first 14 verses show the good bride, I would say. And then the 15th one is when a backsliding and a falling away started happening with it. And I don't want to say anything. It's just I've been looking at those and the abominations that were in the temple, and how the temple has been restored, you know, because the temple has to be restored, and it's been restored somewhat very well, you know, and we want it to be restored fully. So it was really interesting, some of the wonderful subtitles there. It just, everything seemed to go in unison, you know. Stopping at also a study of Psalm 119, you know, just in between all the other studies, and listening to David Eales re-talk about that, you know. I went to the middle study, the third one, because that's a six-parter. Because I always liked that middle one for some reason. And it kind of revitalized me anyway, and it made me more focused, and it's very interesting. But I'm sure you guys all know about that stuff anyway. So it's praise God, glory to God.
Amen.
I don't want to make anyone feel bad. I'm just retired, so I try to find things to do. You know, you've got a lot of time on your hand, and but for you guys, you know, the Lord is going to do it anyway, because He knows how to do everything. And I just like to read it, and I just like to review it and look at it. I'm sure if you guys were just to read it once, you know, and see you. You'd really enjoy yourself. Like the 17th chapter there was really, really interesting. It's entitled, The Parable of Two Eagles and the Vine. You know, some of the titles really work well with, what they're trying to show in our day and in what's about to come to pass, you know, and, It's I'm not saying I know everything that I'm reading, but it's a little more opened up to me than it has been before. So praise God, glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Patrick, go ahead.
Andrew, what was the gist of what you were seeing through Ezekiel there?
Well, it's hard to say. It's just that you're seeing some stuff there in the temple. Words such as imagery and how some elders, 24 elders, weren't really paying attention, and how this bride also had some imagery in her in chapter 16. And I just took these one words and I sort of matched them and seen how they worked out, where the imagery was in the abominations in the temple, and how how division and faction is not supposed to really exist. We're coming into one body here, and you know, it shows that you'll see your calling in chapter 16, and it's a process of progress, because it talks about how she well, it starts out how she has a father that's an Amorite, a mother that's a Hittite, and they're a Canaanite, and then it has how you were born and put in a field, and you're still covered with blood, and then you get the verse of calling where it says you're alive, live twice it says there, and it's really neat on how that comes to pass, and that was the day of your calling, and I can't remember the verses exactly. I'd have to go over them. And it goes down all the way. And then at the 15th verse, that's when the backsliding and the falling away starts happening for this faithless bride, you know. And I'd have to look at it and read it, but I don't have my Bible with me. I'd have to open it up, and I forgot to open it up. Usually I open it up before I come on here. It's the ASV that I use, though, and because it was Ezekiel mostly. And it you can see a lot of things that coincide with the differences and how people have to overcome those things, because you know these are all kind of negative based, but it shows you just in the construct of the titles, even you know the what's happening. Chapter 13 is the false prophet condemned, you know, and that's a factious happening, a faction of division, and how you want to overcome those things, you know. I'm just basically going, you know how they sometimes will entitle the whole chapter of 13 as the false prophet condemned, and you know, chapter 8 is the abomination of the temple, and chapter 11 is the judgment of the wicked counselors, and then the Israel's new heart and new spirit from 11:14 to 25. You know, it seems like from 8 all the way to 17, it was just really nice reading it, and because what we were fasting for was against the faction, and on the last day I said, well, maybe I should have a look at some of these items. So, and those first two. UBM videos off of YouTube, you know, where which I saw on Sunday kind of helped it and worked me into it, you know, and it was kind of neat how it worked out. And I couldn't really explain a lot of things. I just know that what is written there is kind of historical from the time of the first church in the early 300s. What would happen, like when the apostles left, they warned us that wolves would come in and divide the church. And you know, we're not of a denomination. A denomination didn't die for us. All things are yours, whether, you know, Paul, Apollos, whatever his name is, the third guy in the world, death or life, or things present or things to come. 1 Corinthians 3:22. Anyway, ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So, if you go in the reverse, then You know, he's talking about the division, the carnality, the faction that's there, the thing that God wants to destroy in us, you know, to bring the word to the people, to operate in the blessings that you have, the blessings of being merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And we're not supposed to judge. We can't even judge the lost. We can't, you know, these denominations, you know, the whatever denominations these world leaders are of, you know, let their denomination take care of them. And because, you know, we're not supposed to really judge, but, you know, when it's unseemliness, like fornications and various types of stuff like that, you know, you're supposed to judge, but I think that the denominations and factions have made it a bit of a problem, because they'll say, well, what are you doing, you know, coming to my different denomination trying to tell me what's right or wrong. They should know themselves, and they do know. They do know. And but of course, we have it by grace, because the Lord has to make it known to them, because he's got on his right hand and on his left hand that very fruit that Eve ate, of good and evil. And on the Father's right hand is you know who, and on the left hand is you know who, of good and evil. You gotta imitate your Father, sit in his throne sometimes and get the verses of good and evil, you know. There's good ones there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What fellowship hath righteousness with iniquity, you know, and communion with light and darkness, you know. These guys know these things, but they switched in you when at your birth. They switched from law to saved by grace. And now they're your righteousness. All righteousness is by grace, and the righteous shall live by faith, and the faith is attained in your altar of grace. So it's just sometimes, you know, you wonder what the heck happened over the last 1700 years, and the Lord shows you things when you read. You know, he might show you different things than what he's showing me, because the perspective I have is because of my upbringing, and the perspective you have is because of your upbringing. That's even different between me and my son, because he didn't have my father. You know, that was his grandpa. He never met his grandpa, but that was two different fathers, you know. And I had to get saved, you know, so, and so did he. And the Lord doesn't. He does everything. And we should be very thankful for every little thing that he gives us, no matter how small or how big. I sometimes wonder all the things he saved us from that we don't know of. And we're going to find out when we get there. He'll say, well, you should have seen what happened to you. He can even give you the recording and show you what he protected you from, and you didn't even know he did it. He'll show you all the time someone came to you when, but your time came when it was supposed to come, when you were called. So, praise and glory to God. You know, I prayed for blessings. You know, I prayed for, you know, you have to have mercy in you, because you're the temple of the Lord, you know. So the mercy has to be in there. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But I want the fruition of this mercy. I want this word to be alive in me. And the other blessings too, like blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. I want my land plowed and tilled so good seed can come into it and I can bear fruit. And blessed blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Well, why the maturity? Why the maturity for the son instead of the technon as a child? Well, you need to be mature to have someone else become a son of a peacemaker. A peacemaker is the two are made one, thus making peace. You bring that news of the gospel to people. You're making God's children. The two are made one, thus making peace. But he orchestrates it and starts it. He's your sufficiency in it all. My sufficiency is from the Lord. As it says in Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And he'll do it. These things you know, but sometimes it's good to have the verse to back it up. You know, he gives you virtue even before you get the knowledge. That's what Peter said. And then when you get the knowledge, you go, well, how come I just can't get it all, you know, in chorus, you know, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. You know, it's like those doll toys you used to have. That's the way David Eales described it. You open one, and the one on the very inside is the love. But the one on the outside is the faith. And it's like progressive. Each one adds to the other, but they don't necessarily all have to be in that order, because the whole toy is before you, and you're that whole toy. So some of them develop at different levels. I used to have that toy somewhere around in my house, because they used to make those a lot over there in the country my mother came from. And I just said, hey, this is cool. You open one, there's another little lady in there. You open the other, and you get down to the really tiny one on the inside. But all of those exist in us in Christ, from the faith all the way to the love. And of course, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, I spoke enough, and I can see some other hands up there. So I just praise God for what he's doing in me and what he's doing in all of you. Praise and glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you.
Amen. Thank you, Ben, Andrew. Close your whiskey. Go ahead, Benjamin. Well, I'll probably slaughter that.
You did great. Hello, everybody. So to sort of just go off of what my dad was saying a little bit before about faction and religion and all that, and it's just he dabbled into what I wanted to like go into a bit, which was the mercy of God. And it's just this thing that God has kind of been showing me a little bit, because I saw this verse. I forget exactly where I read it, but it said, I prefer mercy over sacrifice. And so that kind of just kind of rung in my head for a little bit. I don't know exactly where it says that. I'm sure everyone, I'm sure some people know where I'm talking about. I think it's in Matthew somewhere. And, you know, it got me really thinking about, like what I'm doing, or what, not what I'm doing, but what God's doing through me, is that he's given mercy. He hasn't, like, it's not supposed to be some sort of sacrificial, religious, traditional kind of thing, but it's a mercy thing. And then I think of all the people that were in the faction over my fast, and I'm like, I've been given a mercy of this unleavened bread ministries, pretty much. And I'm just, it got me thinking of how grateful I am, because you know, I went to a church before and I dabbled into another one after, but I never had really got submerged into religion like that. And you know, it's just something that I'm so thankful for. You know, my dad, you know, talks about the times where he was jumping around and the struggles he had to go through and what he's had to go through. And for all of you sort of have your own little testimonies about it. But, you know, I have had firsthand experience, and I've noticed the fruition or the manifestation that religion or faction can have. Obviously, I've heard the testimonies from David about the faction that we're dealing with. So that's definitely a great example. But I really wanted to express it's just this mercy. Like, God loves to give mercy. He wants to give mercy. And that's something that we need to rest on, is this mercy. I was just reading Mark chapter 2, the last verse in there. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And so I'm sort of thinking I'm resting in this mercy, but I'm also, well, as the Son of Man, we're supposed to sort of see that as Christ within us. We are also the Son of Man, and we are Lord of the Sabbath with Christ, not us, but with Christ. And so I'm sort of like, I am boldly going, because in Hebrews chapter 4, it says we can boldly go into the inner altar and rest in God's works. So I'm boldly walking in this rest and this mercy that God wants to give. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to iterate here. Like, yeah, I understand that it's part of my temple. It's part of the mercy seat, and I'm still kind of building block on it. It's still all very new to me. And, it's just, you know, it's just this pure, it's the unleavened bread that I'm so grateful for, that I'm just trying to iterate, and I'm just trying to confess that I'm my mindset is like, I'm going to do this with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go to work with the Holy Spirit with this mercy. And it's not just like I'm commanding it, but I'm just boldly going with it because God promised it. You know, I'm not commanding the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's just there. And I'm like, oh, great. You know, anyways, just thought I'd say what's going on in my brain and what God's showing me lately.
Amen. Well, that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to teach him into all things. He's going to teach you. Hey, Patrick, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. When Andrew was talking there, it was interesting that it also, talking about those 24 elders that Job brought up. And I just read that real quick. And I don't know, the thing that was coming to me was, let me look and see where I'm at. I'm going to read it, if you don't mind. Revelation 4:1. After these things, I saw and beheld, a door opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard, a voice as of a trumpet speaking with me, one saying, come up hither, and I will show ye thee the things which must come to pass hereafter. Straightway I was in the spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he that sat was to look like a jasper stone and a sardis. And there was a rainbow around about the throne, like an emerald to look upon. And round about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, arrayed in white garments, and on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and voices and thunders, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, 4 living creatures full of eyes before and behind. I guess the thing that just came to me was the 24 throne, the 24 thrones, 24 elders. And it kind of is like the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. In other words, the old covenant relationship with God and the new covenant relationship with God. And sometimes I think we can think that, you know, in the old covenant was law, no one can be saved by the law, etc. And you kind of think that, you know, life with God or the work that God created on the earth started with the revealing or the manifestation or the birth of Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection. And obviously that was the pinnacle or the pinnacle of history. And he who was born and is the create, author, and finisher of our faith, he is taking us through to the end, to that perfect place of the end, in the end. And I'm saying in the end of faith. And that whole process, when you look at that verse where it says, and before the throne, there were the 7 lamps burning, which is kind of reminds me of the, what is it, the menorah of the Old Covenant, Old Testament temple, which are the 7 spirits of God. And those 7 spirits, I'm thinking, were present in the old covenant relationship with God, as well as in the new covenant relationship with God. And so God's perfect plan required both. One as a preparation phase and one as the completion phase, I guess you might say. And these are just thoughts that I'm spitballing that I'm coming out. But I think the thing that the Lord has been doing with me probably, well, over these past weeks is making the point that it's all necessary. That he creates the opposition in our lives for a good purpose. Because it is that force which motivates us to seek him and enter and make that exchange. I think when Andrew was talking about that, you know, that little, I think that little doll or toy that you open it up and pull the little one out and open that one up and pull the little one out. And sometimes, you know, we get impatient. As a matter of fact, I think we're born impatient. And this process, to a certain degree, I feel like that it seems like it's a never-ending process of sanctification, of wearing down the old man and this and that. But as Andrew was talking about, you know, opening up that little toy and pulling out the smaller one, etc., I think it takes longer because it's not just opening up and pulling, you know, grabbing a new one or grabbing a new aspect of the life of Christ and, you know, putting it on and running with it, even though it is. But there's the aspect of exchange. And it's that aspect of exchange, meaning we can obtain or we can grab onto that life, but it also at the same time requires a dying or a exchange, a leaving behind, a willing setting aside in preference for that new life in order to receive it, walk in it, and experience that. And it's that walking and experiencing and failing and confession of sin and getting up and walking and grabbing hold of that life and continuing that process is the necessary thing that allows us to think through and process that exchange. And that's the part that takes the time and the patience and the tears and the prayer and the faith and the seeking God and the failing. I know that it has been in my life, learning to walk with the Lord and walk in truth. And this whole exchange process has been close to 90% failure and 10% success, shall we say. And the nice thing about it, if you can say it's a nice thing, is once you get through the process, and the stumbling and the failure and the confession and the failure, and you get through it and you catch it and then you understand it and it becomes yours, then it's no more struggle after that. You've got it. It's now part of you and you are resting in it. You've got it. I mean, I'm just thankful to the Lord that He opened my eyes to Him early in my life, so that I could and can enjoy the process. It's only been, I think, in the last few years that I've been able to, I'm not going to say accept, but I'm going to say cooperate. Coordinate, what's the word I want to use? To be able to enjoy this process, because I know that this is how He raises His sons, how He matures us into His life. And I wanted to read just a out of First Peter, if I could, because this is, I just wanted to read this section. It's very, very uplifting. And when we came on tonight and Joe mentioned the 24 elders and everything, this was the thing that was on my mind because of, you know, where the Lord has us. And in 1 Peter 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect who are sojourners of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Obedience, obviously the sanctification of the Spirit, the sprinkling of the blood, the forgiveness, our entrance into his life, and then our obedience, which wears away, wears that old man down, reveals the everything within us that contradicts God, and then that sprinkling of the blood in our forgiveness and our reaching out for mercy in him, and he brings us through by grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And I guess as I'm reading this, I'm just thinking, nothing has taken God by surprise. He not only is not surprised, he orchestrated this process. He created it. He wrote the book. All these things that Andrew brought up in Ezekiel. It's the pattern for what we're going through now. It's the pattern that hasn't changed. It's, as David says, it's God's MO or whatever. This is the way he does it. And who by the power of God, and that's us, or are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And I personally think, I know that we all, you know, Paul probably thought, you know, maybe he was looking at 50 years, 100 years before Christ returned, or et cetera. Probably every generation has thought, you know, Christ is right on the verge. He's here. He's going to be coming. It can't get any worse than it is now. I suspect that there's been many generations that have said that. But I'll join the generations and say that I believe this is the last time, and this salvation, the fullness of the salvation that God has provided for us, I believe he is bringing us through to that revelation of that salvation that he has created at the foundation of the world, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, ye have been put to grief in manifold trials. Bingo. That's the MO. That's God's MO. That's God's way of blowing the old man into the grave and raising up the new man in Christ. That the proof of your faith being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Read Daniel 2 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Trusting God, even in the midst of the threat of that fire, and even as they held on to their faith, went into that fire, and God exchanged. They exchanged that life, and Jesus was in that fire with him, and so astounded and changed a nation that they called them out of the fire. Even Nebuchadnezzar called forth resurrected bodies out of the fire, in whom, having not seen, ye love, on whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And one verse and example that I wanted to stop on, and that was the example of Jesus when he was young, 12 years old, in the temple, and his parents missed him, forgot him, or left him in the temple, didn't realize it. Thought he was with the rest of the group. Excuse me. It's an example of Jesus as he was asking questions at this young age and astounding those teachers of the law by the depth of his understanding of God's word, grace. They were astounded at what they were seeing, though they couldn't explain it. And as Mary came back, she said, when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that you..." "How is it that you sought me? Know ye not," excuse me, "know ye not that I must be in my Father's house?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto him. And then catch this. He went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. And his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. God's MO, I believe, is not only to bring about faction, opposition into our lives, but our response to that process is submission to our authorities, submission to the authority where he has placed us, learn and our ability to learn submission, and through that submission, receive the influences of this opposition and let it perfect Christ's response in us. And I believe that's what he's doing with us
with all of us in the world today. He's bringing forth an environment to produce his life in the world today. And so, Father, I thank you for your love for us, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you came 2,000 years ago and you started this mission of mercy on the earth. We know, Lord, that the same Jesus that instituted this process, this dispensation, if you will, of mercy is returning to mix that mercy with judgment. And so, Father, I just ask that you would open up our eyes, grant us grace to cooperate with you in all of your influences in our lives and respond in the life of Christ that you put within us. And Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in us. We thank you that you are the author and finisher of our faith and well able to take us through to the destination you have provided for us. That inheritance that you created for us, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We praise you for the work is done and that the work that you are doing is accomplishing exactly what you intended it to do. We praise you and we thank you and just ask you to bless us as we continue on in your word. Strengthen us in faith. Strengthen us in all your seven spirits of God within us, Lord, and bring out those gifts to bless your heart and to bless others in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Listen, I've gotten some word that there's some people are feeling some oppression. Let's come against that right quick, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I'll come against this spirit of oppression in this fellowship. You are not allowed. These are the holy temples of God. You leave here now in the name of Jesus. I'm commanding you by the power and the blood of Jesus to go from this fellowship right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we are free from it. We declare it. And everybody said, amen, because I'm free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, that this whole fellowship is free of it in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Me too. I'll be so free. Glory to God. I'll be so free. My, my, my. Thank you, Patrick. I have something on my heart that I've been wanting to bring forward for a little bit. And that is, how many of you know that Christianity is called the Great Confession? Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say the Great Confession? In Proverbs 6, 1 and 2, it talks about thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. What you say is what you're going to get. That's what he's saying. What you say is what you're going to get. You can either have faith-filled words that's going to put you over, be overcomers, or you can have fear-filled words that will defeat you and put you at the foot of Satan. I believe that words are the most powerful weapon that we have as a son of God or a daughter of God. That's what's going to put you over or keep you under. Does anybody agree? Does anybody understand that confessions out of your mouth is what you're going to get? Jesus, when he spoke the world into existence, he spoke the word and it happened. Pow, 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 pow. And he didn't stop it either. He spoke it, and that's what happened. And I'm going to open it up now and ask you a question. How do we, as Christians, how should we talk to one another? How should we convey what's wrong with us to one another? How should we, as Christians, as believers, Christians has become a pretty broad spectrum of people, but believers are believers in the Word of God, what it says. So I'm gonna open it up to Ben. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, I have my hand. I'll poke at it. How are we supposed to speak to each other as believers? That's what the question is. I was going to bring this up when, you said that Proverbs 21:8, life is and death is in the power of the tongue or something along the lines of that. And so,
that's what it says. Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
And so if you're going to speak to a fellow brother or a fellow brother or sister, again, I'll bring up the verse, do all things unto edifying. Like if someone's going to go up to you with like something like they have a problem or if they're like struggling with something, rather reprimanding them, it's to edify them, remind them. James talks about it really well, how powerful the tongue is. I think it's in chapter 3. The tongue is like a fire. It can spread throughout the body and destroy it. This was before my Christian walk. I've always said you can always talk yourself out of depression. And that's even, I was a pretty open mind. I was pretty, blunt guy before. Now that I'm really understanding that, yes, you really can with the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not just a mind thing. It's a spiritual thing. The words that we confess have a spirit behind it. And so if you're going to talk to your brother or your spiritual brother and sister in a condescending tone, that's not with the Spirit of God. It will have power though, because there is still power in the tongue. So if you're going to speak to somebody in an antichrist spirit, you're going to start sowing antichrist seed into that, especially if it's someone that's very young in the Lord and someone that is stuck on religion. If you're going to feed religion, it's going to sow religion, and then they're going to have fruits of faction and whatnot. Anyways, that's my gist of it. That's as much as I know. You got to speak nice, and then you're going to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to speak bad, you're going to have the fruits of the Antichrist spirit, which is listed off all in Galatians chapter 5.
Amen. So we should be encouraging our brothers and sisters rather than beating them down.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
All things unto edifying.
Yeah, because how many of you know that we operate on the same level as God does as far as faith? the same level, of God. Because he said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, he said that Jesus told us this. This is in red. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And Matthew 17, 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Glory to God. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Mark 11, 23, everybody knows this one. For verily I say unto thee, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's some wild stuff, but it all hinges on what you say. You can think whatever you want to, but always spout out of your mouth encouragement words of faith. Always. Let's say, you get up in the morning. Oh man, I just feel terrible. Well, guess what? You just opened the door. You're going to feel terrible. Or if you get up and say, I don't care what the devil's trying to put on me, bless God, I know what the word of God says. I'm blessed and highly favored, glory to God, and I'm going to jump up out of this bed and give that devil some bad time. I'm going to whoop him. He's getting out this house, I'm telling you, because I know who's in here with me. That's Jesus, and he's your key. And he has taken your defenses away from you, devil, and you got to go. Everything that comes out of our mouth, that's why it calls a confession of faith. He wants us to not only, when we speak to our friends and our neighbors and our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should always be encouraging to them, you know, to bring up the things that would be edifying to them. There are times when you can, you know, when they and a little off track, you're going to have to say, well, I'm going to tell you what the deal is here. You've gotten off the word of God. You've gone to your senses rather than what the word of God is. How many of you know there's such a thing as truth, and then there's such a thing as a fact? Y'all heard this before. When you have truth, you can change fact. But fact cannot change truth. Because truth is the word of God. Fact is what you see, smell, hear, touch, and feel, I guess, whatever all the five senses is. That's just fact. You know that's what you see. But you can change that with your mouth by the truth. And the truth, of course, is the word of God. We just read a bunch of good promises right there. And that's not theory. This is fact. What I'm telling you now, this is fact. What you speak out of your mouth, what you're going to be. That's right. You can bind and loose. That's a powerful key right there. Binding and loosing. And what I see some people do a lot of times is don't take this the wrong way. I'm trying to just open up something here so you can understand what sometimes we do. I've done this in the past too, but I've learned to keep my mouth shut mostly and start speaking what the word. I don't accept that in the name of Jesus. You get out of here. And start speaking faith, and guess what happened? You confess that faith. I sent some of you a thing called Healing Confessions of Your Faith. And the thing said this. It said, speak these, confess these, and it's scripture, confess these three times a day at 10 minutes at a time, and watch God do a miracle. And it's quoting scripture. And I guarantee you on the word of God, that if you do that, whatever you're asking for will happen. Because you're speaking the word of God. You're speaking it. You're declaring it. Don't. And the more you speak it, the more it's going to happen. I believe this. I believe that if I have gray hair, that I can speak my hair color back. You know, I'm just throwing something out there. I believe that I can speak that my DNA is changing, bless God, and it's changing. How many of you know I look at least 10 years younger than I really am? I'm just saying. y'all, some of you are laughing, but I'm going to tell you something. That's the truth. This is the truth of God that I'm speaking here. You speak the word of God and you'll see what happened. And I'm not trying to say that this is all self help stuff. You can speak the word of God over any circumstance in your life and overcome it by speaking the word of God, confessing it every day. Has anybody got anything I'd like to speak about that or comment on that? Is this too radical or is this right on the money? Well, I see three heads saying, shaking, yeah, and everybody else is looking, saying, oh, okay. You're not going to get a demerit if you disagree. Go ahead, Missy. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what comes to my mind is the video we've seen a couple times about, you know, speaking to the rice and speaking to the strawberries and everything. I mean, that's proof.
Yes.
That's proof that it works. And, yeah. I mean, it's.
Amen. I mean, that's a good one, Ben. Go ahead, Missy.
Our words are just as powerful as God's words. Life and, like Ben said, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know, what we say is sowing, and we're going to reap what we sow. That is, the Lord just, it amazes me when I come across some scriptures, and I may have never really acknowledged or recognized, but there's so much in the scripture that is, what it's saying is sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping, you know, it doesn't say that. I can't think of, well, for instance, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's sowing and reaping. You sow what you want to reap, and you speak. Our speaking is sowing life or death.
Amen. All right, Ben, did you have something? I saw your hand up a while ago. That wasn't you? Who was that? Was that your daddy? I believe that was your daddy. Okay, Andrew. Well, you're getting both starting to look alike, except Andrew's got longer hair.
Go ahead. As much as in you is, be at peace with all men. And as to the question as how you talk to a brother, well, if someone's closer to you than a brother, then how do you address someone who's closer to you than a brother? Who is that closer one to you than a brother? And that's quite a wonderful statement, actually, because I'm addressing the body of Christ. I'm addressing part of Christ's body, and that's how I should address my brothers and sisters here. And that's how I I think of them. And you're actually even supposed to think of them as greater than you. There's a verse like that. I forget actually how it goes. And as for the confession you make, you know, there's one in 1 John chapter 4, you know, and there's a confession that you have to confess there. You know, it sort of goes on about you have to confess that Christ is in you, and you don't be how does the verse go there? Hereby know we the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ, just want to get to the NENT, that was ASD. Hereby know we, ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So, we're supposed to abide in Jesus. Jesus is the name called the Word of God, and that's what we're supposed to speak. So we speak to be at peace, you know, for as much as in you is, what's in you, that is, be at peace with all men. Well, peace is the two are made one, thus making peace, and the two are, you and Christ, made one. And you got to always let Christ go first. He's yoked to you from the inside out. So he's actually leading your walk and your hands and your eyes and ears and mouth, you know, to always have the Lord. You know, you don't want your mind changed or your spirit or your word. You have to confess Christ. You're confessing the one who came in you, the epiphany, as the new Greek word that we all have to learn. And the epiphany is part of the now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even King James had it right. There's the epiphany, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, neither troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ be at hand. So, you know, your confession is the proper four items that are there. And you're addressing people to build each other up, to build each other up in love. And of course, all those blessings in Matthew chapter 5 are supposed to be functioning. We've studied that chapter, I think, three or four times. And I know it sounds like your beginnings, but it's a really nice thing to review, because you got all those blessings. And you know, the mercy, you know, we you know, even when you praise God, and I have the praise songs written down that I have, you know, and you know, when you sing about the mercy, you know, it's just reminding you of your temple, and that mercy seat has to function in your voice whenever you speak, and it has to speak what's in you as a child of light, because that lamp is in the temple too. And there's the 12 loaves of bread on the show table, one for every, well, I'll say apostle instead of tribe, even though we do have the tribes too, anyway, that you from your soul comes the life of the rivers of water. But the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And that bread is what you're speaking. You're speaking the glories, the light that's in you, because you're a child of light. You know, and this is the main reason why the world is not going to have peace, and you don't see that. Jesus spoke of peace in a different definition. Peace, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Because the peace is your very birth. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the third one. And you know, the joy is the blessing. And the blessing is, blessed are the peacemakers. And how do you add to your peace? You know, what Pat was just reading in First Peter there, it talks about adding to your peace. Well, that's bearing fruit. So you're becoming more and more the peace man, the two that are made one. Actually, you're always in that perfection state. You have to talk to a bunch of perfect people. And stop it with the other stuff. You know, you know what it says about stepping on the serpents and scorpions. You know what it says about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty before God, casting down strongholds. That this is who you're speaking with. And I'm addressing you now in this manner. And it needs to be done. You don't often get to talk to people except here on this outreach. So we are standing before the mighty family of God here, and we need to address the people this way, no matter how long you've been at it. Because it don't matter how small someone is. You know, you don't speak against the sign of Jesus, even when he's a baby, because he's going to be a sign spoken against. And that's what that old man said when he said, now I can pass away because I've seen my salvation. And when Jesus was a baby, and he's put in a manger for a reason. So stop, you're going to have to think about how a lamb per each household, right? To partake of the Passover. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen. Joe, did you have something you want to add?
I asked a little bit. I was thinking about what David was on the Bible study on Sunday. He was talking about when you pray to God, already been done. Already, if you pray, it's already been done. I was thinking about that now. If you're talking to your friends or family, it's think about what you're saying. Don't just don't idle talk. Think about what you're saying the whole time, not just talk. Because talk is talk. You must think about, same as you talk to God, that it must make sense, it must be positive, it must be building up and with love. That's all I'm going to say. Thanks.
Jesus never talked a whole lot, did he, unless he was teaching the word. That's what he told us. Here's some great stuff. In Ephesians 5:1, chapter 5 and verse 1, he tells us to be imitators of God, just like children imitate their parents, you know. So how do you imitate God? Well, you talk like him and you act like him. He ain't going to ask you to do something that he doesn't give you the tools to do it with. He gave us the authority, didn't he, to come against the enemy. He gave us everything that we need in this walk that he's got us to be, imitating Jesus. And that's what David always talks about. What is it? It's one of the Corinthians 3 and 18. I think it's 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. He talks about looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus. And when you look in the mirror, I'm talking about your spiritual mirror, you look inside yourself and see Jesus. Then you can walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Like Joe was talking about, he didn't speak a whole lot of words when he healed somebody or delivered somebody. He didn't speak a whole lot of words. He didn't ask them if they had any generational curses. He didn't ask them nothing. He just commanded them to come out. And when he commanded them to come out, what did they do? They come out. And that's the truth of the gospel that God wants us to walk in. To understand this, it ain't you doing the work. It's you confessing the work that God's going to do because of your faith. And the faith that comes from God anyway. God told us, he told us, he said, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain out into the sea. But you have to speak it first. Mountain, get on out down that sea right now in the name of Jesus. Guess what? That mountain will jump. That circumstance, whatever it is, it's going to jump. That's got to go. Problem is getting our senses in tune with the Spirit of God in us. And allow the truth. And how do you do that? Renew your mind with the Word of God to understand everything that he's told us that we can be and walk on this earth, and have to walk and imitate Jesus. Walk just like him. Not that we are Jesus. We're allowed Jesus to come alive in us. I couldn't heal a gnat, but I can tell you who can. God in me can. Because he's working through me to whoever it is that I'm praying for. Bless God, they're going to get healed. That's my belief anyway. And I've seen it happen to people that didn't have an ounce of faith. I'm telling you, it's not a big deal to believe God for anything that we need. And to get the gospel out. To get provisions, it's just us that has to align ourselves with the true Word of God and quit looking at, well, I just don't believe they're going to get healed because of this or that. It don't make any difference what they're looking at. It's your job to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that what it says? That's what it says. I'm just talking about my faith. Can't be in what I've heard over the years that are, they want to lay it off on something else other than, you know, what it really is. It's lack of faith. See you, Brandy. Well, he's gone, man. He didn't take him long. All right, Ben, go ahead, brother.
Ephesians 5 and 1, that's a good verse that really brought up a part that I really wanted to talk about. But another thing I wanted to say was, and this isn't to diminish anything about tongue or speaking or anything, but there is a very good saying called, actions speak louder than words. And obviously, this is nothing to take down because that's a whole new can of worms that we're opening up right now. but we're walking in that faith. You know, when Jesus was first started his ministry, he was healing people right away. He wasn't going, he was teaching, obviously, he's having those sermons, but when people actually started noticing him, he was healing. Like, this is just like, it was probably just bare minimum, well, not bare minimum, but like very basic for him to do this. And it, again, this is going into that new mindset. Again, I'll bring up the book, what's it called again, by Andrew Murray, Absolute Surrender, where he talks about love and how love is the opposite of selflessness. And it just, it really opened up a, like a new way of looking at love, because a lot of people love because that person has done something for them or that person does something for them. And it's just, if you're going to go and love that person, excluding yourself totally, just totally loving them without like the edification of yourself, that's true love. That's agape style kind of love that God wants us to have for everyone, not just for people that are good to us, but for our enemies as well. And that's another one of those blessings that my dad was talking about. Blessed are those who, blessed who are persecuted for my name's sake. And we also need to love the people that persecute us. And so he wants us to imitate this selflessness. And it, whenever we're talking about stuff like that, it always brings me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in God's form, counted not the being on an equality with God ought to be grasped at, but emptied himself, so selflessness, taking bondman's form, being made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, death on the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him. So that's the sort of mindset, that renewed mind that Romans chapter 12 talks about. That's the sort of the new mindset that we need. That God gives us by grace is selflessness towards others, being a bondman, even though we are called to be in Christ's nature, we need to serve others because God through Jesus healed everyone. Not just Jews, he healed everyone. Gentiles, no matter what race they were, he healed everybody. That's the kind of mindset that we need. It's like, oh, this guy that's a Muslim, like, why would I heal him? Hey, if you have the faith and the boldness to go up to them and say, can I pray to you in Jesus' name? They'll probably refuse it, but, you know... We want that mindset to love, and that's the light in the darkness. That's the sweet aroma of Christ that us as ambassadors in this, or sojourners or ambassadors in this nation, need to be, that God wants us to be. Yeah, that's what I kind of got from being imitators of Christ. It's taking away selflessness. I forget where I was trying to go with this, but I think y'all know what I'm talking about.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I sure do. One thing about what you said a while ago and I believe you were referring to the verses in James where it talks about be a doer of the word instead of a hearer of the word. And That's exactly right. When you're a doer of the word, you step out in faith. You're stepping out in faith. You're acting on what you've learned, and you're going to see miracles. I guarantee if you just step out and do it. What did Jesus say? You talk about love. What did Jesus often say about, they said about Jesus when I hear somebody, Jesus had compassion on them. That's love. He had compassion on him. He said it a number of times, or it was said of him a number of times, that Jesus had compassion on them and healed them all. That's a powerful testimony, and I believe we're fixing to see that too. I know we are. I don't think we're fixing to see it. I know we're seeing it. Glory to God. Yeah, Andrew. It's all because of what we speak out of our mouth, the Word of God. Now, I can get excited about talking about speaking the Word of God and watching it come to pass in reality. Go ahead, Andrew.
I don't want to take credit for anything. So I'm just going to say, when my son says dad, it's not really me. He knows I'm only practice dad. So I hope, you know, he understands that. And from the statement you just made, Michael, we do only speak the Word of God. So, I understand, like, if you say, well, what Andrew said or what Pat said or what Michael just said, you know, but we're always giving it glory to God. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is something I just want to bring up. You know, I taught my children that I'm only a practice dad. You have a real father in heaven. And
amen. All glory goes to God. And I believe that. Truly do.
Okay. What does it say in 1 Corinthians? I'll just turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think it's verse 22. It says there, wherefore let no one glory in men, for all things are yours. And 22 says, whether Paul, so he does. I understand what the last verse says in Galatia chapter 1:24 about Paul, but he's saying, don't glory in men, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or world or life or death or things present or coming, all are yours and ye are Christ's and Christ is God's. So, you know, when they glorified Paul, and they glorified the God that was in Paul. So I just want to make that an understanding of when people are referring to other people's names here. And we give all glory to God. I even believe Jesus did.
Amen. I believe that wholeheartedly, Andrew. What we first got to do, though, is to find teach people who they are in Christ in order to give glory to God. And you're not giving glory to God for what you learn. You're giving glory to God for what you do. That's where the fruit comes from. And I believe that, and I believe wholeheartedly to give the glory to God, because I can't do anything without him. No one can. No one can do a thing without him. Amen. I believe that. Go ahead, Andrew. I knew you had something else you'd like to say.
Well, I forgot now anyway, so.
Okay.
But it's just glory to God all the time, you know, because in the learning process, from the Holy Spirit, we learn, as it says, you know, in that he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name to teach you all things and to remind you of everything he taught you. sometimes you could be speaking something that you're being taught, and you still have to come to the full fruition of that, what you're being taught. You know, as we are maturing in Christ to have from faith to faith and glory to glory. And, you know, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And you can remember that day when you first believed and how much more you have now. So it is, it's in that book there. What's it called? Instantaneous Salvation, Instantaneous and Progressive. And that's as far as I'm going with that. Praise God.
That was it. Salvation, Instant and Progressive. Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, grace is progressive too, you know, because his fullness, we all received grace upon grace.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got anything I'd like to comment on as far as speaking the word? Yeah, Merlin.
I was just going to say that, you know, we have verses that we can pray to help us in this. I pray them for myself, but I pray them for the body, because anything I pray for myself, I can pray for the body as well. Mm-hmm. And in Psalm 19, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I don't know the address of this other one, but I really pray this a lot. let no corrupt speech proceed from my mouth, that I speak only that which is good, unto edifying, giving grace to all who hear. That when we do speak, that we speak as the oracles of God, because we all have giftings. We've all got things to offer that can be a blessing and to the body and bring glory to Jesus. So just, you know, those are things that I think about and pray about for the body and for myself.
Amen. That's scriptures. You confess the scriptures. You're confessing that truth I was talking about. And it can change fact. Mm-hmm. Here's a few of them that I've got, Marilyn. I forgive others, and Christ has forgiven me, for the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. That's out of Matthew 6 and 17 and Romans 5 and 5. Jesus bore my sins in his body on the tree. Therefore, I am dead to sin and alive unto God, and by his stripes I am healed and made whole. Glory to God. 1 Peter 2:24, Romans 6:11, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. You can combine them. You can combine these verses and make a statement out of, like Marilyn was talking about, and make those statements about yourself or whoever you're praying for. I take the authority that has been given to me and say, enough is enough. It's your will for me to prosper, spirit, soul, and body. Pressing through and calling those things that are not as though they were. Speaking to my body to respond in God's way. I make a demand on my body to produce the right chemicals. Glory to God. And life is restoring my body with every breath I take. If God did not plant it in my body, it has to go. And I forbid any malfunction in this body of Christ and say, be changed and be restored. And I thank you, Father, for the medicine of life in Jesus' name. And just go, just make up your own list, glory to God. Blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear, glory to God. That's in Deuteronomy 34 and 7. You have given me abundant life. I received that life through your word. And it flows to every organ of my body, bringing healing and health. John 10:10, John 6:63. Glory to God. The life of 1 Peter 2:24 is a reality in my flesh, restoring every cell of my body. And I present my body to God for it is the temple of the living God. God dwells in me, and his life permeates my spirit, soul, and body so that I am filled with the fullness of God daily. Romans 12:1-2 and John 14:20. Glory to God. And I do that in Jesus' name. I will not die, but live and declare the works of God. Psalm 118:17. Glory to God. And just make up your, I didn't make this up. I just went through the internet and found these things and made up a whole list of them here from that. I think I sent it to some of you. He said, listen to this one. Every organ and tissue of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in Jesus' name. Genesis 1:28 and verse 31. Father, your word has become a part of me. It is flowing in my bloodstream. It flows to every cell of my body, restoring and transforming my body. Your word has become flesh, for you sent your word and healed me. James 1:21, Psalm 107:20, and Proverbs 13:3, and on and on. You can make a Bible out of these promises that God's given you. You can. There's a bunch of them in here. Heavenly Father, listen, Heavenly Father, I give voice to your word. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death, and your life is energizing every cell of my body in Jesus' name. Romans 8:12. Oh, God. And I speak this on everybody. Father, I make a demand on my bones to produce perfect marrow. I make a demand on the marrow to produce pure blood that will ward off sickness and disease. My bones refuse any offense of the curse in Jesus' name. Proverbs 16:24. Woo, just on and on and on. You can make your own up. Oh, I'll send it to you if you want one. I thank you, Father, that I have a strong heart. My heart beats with the rhythm of life. Lord of God, makes me skip when I walk. My blood flows to every cell of my body, restoring life and health abundantly. Proverbs 12:14, 14:30. I do. Lord, you have blessed my food and water and have taken sickness away from me. Therefore, I will fulfill the numbers of my days in health. I'm going to be just like Moses. You know what I'm saying? Actually, I want to be just like Enoch. Amen. You can speak everything positive about your body and yourself, or you can speak the curse on yourself. I like this one too. I always say this to myself. In Jesus' name, I forbid my body to be deceived in any manner. Body, you will not be deceived by any disease, germ, or virus. Neither will you work against life or health in any way. And every cell in my body supports life and health in Jesus' name. Matthew 12:25 and 35a. Glory to God. Y'all receive that? I do. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, that's another thing. I can go on and on. My gracious sakes, and I, but Missy's got something she wants to say. Go ahead, Missy. Better be
edifying. I'm sorry I did this one, but I might not have caught it, but the one that I say a good bit is the Spirit of God gives life to my mortal body.
Say that again.
The Spirit of God gives life to my mortal body.
Amen. It sure does.
That's in Romans 8 somewhere.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Hendrick.
We're praying all these now, aren't we?
I am.
Okay. Sometimes people don't realize that we're actually doing it now. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah, I'm praying it. I'm praying for everybody here that wants to receive it. Glory to God. But, oh, here's another. Body, I speak the word of faith to you, and I demand that every organ perform a perfect work, for you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the authority of his holy word to be healed and made whole in Jesus' name. Proverbs 12 and 18. Glory to God, yes. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. You're an awesome God, Lord. You got so many things in us we could be declaring about ourselves and our friends and our brothers and sisters. My gracious sakes alive. Thank you, Jesus. All right, does anybody want to say, anybody want to pray something for somebody, one somebody? I tell you what, I'm going to do this.
I'll give it a try.
Go ahead, brother.
Father God, you love justice. You hate robbery. You hate iniquity. Father God, I pray the Fenehru, that we would shine for you, Father, in this love of your justice and this robbery and this iniquity, these things that interfere with us, Lord, that you see that are robbing us. Lord, we will have this and we will shine for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to do this for when somebody's on my heart right now. Scripture is my receipt for a perfect healing. And it's just as though I owed a bill that I couldn't pay if somebody handed me a receipt in full for the bill. And I looked at the receipt. I knew the bill had been paid. And I rejoiced in the fact that I was free from that debt. The Father wants me to know that he paid the debt. He put all infirmities on Jesus. All of them. Not just one or two, he put all of them. He made Jesus sick with all infirmities. Isaiah 53 and 10 says, for it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath made him sick. And it's unseemly for me to have any infirmity or to ever think about any infirmity. The scripture is my receipt in full, up to date, for a perfect healing of all infirmity. And according to his words, by his stripes, I am healed right now. And I refuse to give place to any other thought that would contradict his word. And I refuse to take the testimony of my senses. There might be discomfort in my body, but I refuse to accept that as evidence that I have not been healed. And I say confidently, and I say quietly, Father, I thank you that all infirmities were laid on Jesus, that he was made sick with it, and that by his stripes, I am healed. There ain't no worry. There ain't no fear. Because Jesus bore all infirmities in his body on the tree. When he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, it was with all infirmities. He was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. And that's my receipt in full, and I was delivered from the dominion of the adversary, and I am healed and free, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Praise you, Father God, because you did it for me. I don't have to accept it. And I thank you, Father, it's gone, glory to God. And everybody here who receives, it's gone right now. That bill's been paid, glory to God, and we have the victory. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I take the authority that's been given to all of us. Enough is enough, demon. It's your will for me to prosper, Lord, spirit, soul, and body. And we're going to press through and call those things that are not as though they were. Everybody here is healed, glory to God. And I speak to everybody's body to respond to the word of God. And I make a demand on everyone's body to produce the right chemicals to bring healing in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. Even right now, our DNA is changing to the healthy DNA that you want and you desire for all of us to walk in. Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. Woo! Ah, my, my, my. I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. I know y'all do too. Praise God forevermore. Of course. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got one? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, bro.
I just pray, Lord, Father God, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love for everybody. Lord, thank you for our privileges that all we have as citizens of the kingdom cannot be touched. There's no devil allowed. Only love and grace and mercy through you. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Lord. Bless your holy name, Lord. And we thank you and we love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise God forevermore. Woo, my. Man, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, that devil's on the run tonight, ain't he? We're going to do this, too. We're going to pray for the evangelists. The missionaries over in the Middle East, in the name of Jesus right now, I command the spirit of fear in the enemy's camp over there to shake these so-called Christians that have murdered all these people in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for scattering them to the winds, scatter them to the four corners of the earth. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing the missionaries over there with a supernatural Holy Ghost meeting, Lord. And I thank you for that. I ask, Lord, that you fill them with the Holy Spirit, walking, talking, Jesus is all over that place. And Father, I thank you that this is going to bring about a great revival. That people are going to come out of those apostate religions and come into the truth of the gospel in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father, for scattering the enemies in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Father. And Lord, I thank you for placing it into people's hearts over there to believe you for the provisions and not man. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we're going to see something even greater than George Mueller did. And he had a great testimony for the provisions that he had to bring those orphans a home. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Woo, my. Thank you, Jesus, for putting them on the run. Last night I saw in the vision, I saw a great battle being fought. I couldn't see who was in the battle. I knew who it was. It was evil against good. But I couldn't see the players. All I could see was a great big smoke cloud and the reflection of fire and bombings and all of this kind of thing going on. Then I saw, a little bit after that, I saw angels headed out there in supersonic speed, man. Pew! Pew, pew, pew. And then after that, I saw that this battle died down as if it had been won. And I believe it has. Glory be to God. I believe it has. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Oh, my man, he's getting close here. I'm sorry I took up so much time. I just got too excited. Get the enemy on the river. I can do that. Does anybody need some prayer? I'm going to ask that. And if you need prayer, right now is the time to get it. Yeah, Joe.
Just encouragement of faith to stand together with, I think everybody got some going through some trials. I'm going as well. There's some endurance and faith and believe and trust, Father, for victory.
Amen. Okay. Yeah, Father, we thank you that you're going to honor our requests, that everybody here that would like to have that faith to put it in them to do two things, to pray in the Spirit a lot and to get in the Word. And I praise you, Father, that when they do that, faith is going to rise up like it never has before. And they're going to know absolutely without a doubt that when they pray, their prayers are answered in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. I believe it, Joe. Glory to God. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to give Joe a special anointing. A special anointing. A great and bold faith to believe that he can go out and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover with compassion. He'll have compassion upon them and lay his hands on them. They're going to be healed right then, be delivered. Any circumstance that comes up in his life that he's prayed for will happen. Glory to God. And I praise you. That goes for anybody else out there. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. Well, Father, I just thank you for this night. It's been a wonderful night. I have enjoyed everybody's take on what they talked about tonight. It's been awesome. Seems like we're being led by the Spirit tonight. That has been awesome. Ooh, excuse me. And I praise you, Father, for setting the captives free. Excuse me. That's gone too in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. And I pray more light, more revelations. And I command the darkness to go right now in Jesus' name. I command it by the fire and the blood of Jesus to leave right now. Oppression, go. Depression, go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for replacing it with your joy, your peace, and resting in you, Father God, because I know you're going to do it. And I thank you, Lord, that the angels right now are round about those that need it, and that you're going to give them love and compassion because you love them, and I know you do. And I thank you, Father, for setting them up in your lap and just hugging them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I believe it's done. Don't y'all? Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?